You're listening to the Podcast Network. Listen, learn, evolve.
There's a way, such a better way. Today, today. Raise your voice, tell the world there's a better way. Today, there's a better way. Ooh, there's a way, such a better way. Today, today. Now raise your voice, tell the world there's a better way. Today, there's a better way.
This is Rod Adams, and it's time for another Atomic Show podcast. This is number 167, and with me today I have Jeff Merrifield, who is a former commissioner of the U.S. Nuclear Regulatory Commission, and is currently, I think, are you a senior vice president or?
That's right.
Senior vice president with the Shaw Group, which is a partial owner of Westinghouse Corporation, and is very actively involved in development of the AP1000s that are being built at Plant Vogtle. And are you guys also building the ones at Scana?
We are. Actually, we're involved with Westinghouse in building 8 nuclear units right now. The 4 that are under construction in China at the Sanmen and Haiyang sites, and then, as you mentioned, the Vogtle site in Georgia for Southern Company, and the summer site in South Carolina for Scana.
Now, Shaw Group is a big construction company, but you all have been doing some pretty unique type construction work in China, and I guess you're going to be doing the same at Plant Vogtle and at Scana. Can you tell us a little bit about the construction project or the construction style that you're using?
One of the aspects of the Westinghouse AP1000 design, which makes it unique from many of the other designs being built today, is the degree of modularity of the construction. There are certain portions of the structure of the plant which traditionally one would have used steel rebar with concrete construction. What we're doing instead is manufacturing modules made out of plate steel, and then those are fabricated in large structures in place. Then concrete is poured in to create the structure for the building. Those modules are built in an off-site location. In China, it's a couple hundred miles away from where some of the units are being built. In the case of here in the U.S., Shaw has built a $100 million plus facility in Lake Charles, Louisiana, and truck-mounted size submodules will be manufactured in that facility and then sent to the Georgia and South Carolina sites, where they'll be assembled into larger modules and put into the building. To strain the analog, it is somewhat, and some people have referred to it as sort of a Lego-like construction, where you're able to get these pieces into place. And while that sort of strains things a bit, it probably is not a bad way of thinking about it. It has the benefit of putting a lot more construction in a factory-like setting, with climate controls, with a lot greater degree of oversight on quality control. We think it's going to make it much more predictable for us to build these plants, and we also think it's a safer way of building them as well.
So the sandwich, would it be appropriate to refer to the type of modules in terms of the concrete and the steel plates? Is it almost a sandwich type arrangement?
Yeah, I think people have referred to it in that way, and I think that's perfectly applicable.
Okay, and one of the reasons I wanted to get in touch with you and talk to you about this is, I've been following the licensing process for the design certification process of the AP1000 for a number of years. It's probably, as far as I can tell, been one of the most scrutinized and revised designs that we've ever had. And yet, I guess it was about last week, the Nuclear Regulatory Commission issued a press release to describe a conflict or a question, or I guess set of three questions that they have remaining on the design, even though the public comment period has already been completed. Can you describe what the questions are about?
Well, to start off with what you said, this is, in fact, probably the most highly scrutinized nuclear power plant design ever done, and for a couple of reasons. Number one, in a modern era, with a new round of nuclear plants being built in the United States, the NRC is investing a significant amount of resources in terms of understanding how to review the design. It's sort of the first one through the chute. And so a significant amount of scrutiny has been raised as a result of that. I think the second issue is because it is a new and innovative design, using this modular type construction, it's something that they've not seen before. And so because of that, there's a lot more questions that have been asked, a lot of modeling that they've required, intense calculations that have required, extraordinary work on the part of Westinghouse to meet those requests. Now, what the NRC has in front of it is a rebuild process in terms of updating that design from the earlier one that was licensed back in 2006. Westinghouse had a submission on that they were supposed to give to the NRC. Sort of the latest date had been end of May. That's pushed back a little bit, and that was to deal with calculations associated with the spent fuel pool. The storage water tank on the top of the shield building, which is the outer containment structure, and some of the seismic issues associated with some of those calculations, and the NRC. When they found out that there was going to be that additional delay in Westinghouse providing that information, put out the release, raised some questions, and it resulted in that press release. I think the important thing, Westinghouse it came out with its own release yesterday, was to say, they believe that these technical issues are well in hand. They are going to be putting a submission in. They think we'll answer the questions being raised by the NRC, and they have no reason to believe that they will result in any additional design changes in the AP1000. And so it is their view, and Shaw shares this, that we don't believe that this additional information that the NRC and Westinghouse will be going over is going to have a meaningful difference in what will be the delivery dates for these reactors.
Now, one of the things that a lot of people have pointed to, and I think as a guy who spent some time in engineering jobs and has built a few things myself, I'd like to kind of hold them up and say, have you ever built anything? But they criticize the fact that the AP1000 design has been revised several times since it was first submitted and even since it's been certified. Can you explain why designs get modified after construction starts?
Well, in the case of the AP1000, I think there's a few different reasons for that. I mean, one of them is that after it was certified in 2006, the Nuclear Regulatory Commission went ahead and placed additional requirements on all reactor vendors, including Westinghouse, that they make the design robust enough to defend against the potential for commercial airliner attacks. That really prompted Westinghouse to go back and take a look at the outer the shield building, which originally was envisioned using a traditional concrete and steel rebar construction. And they went back and they said, "Is there a better way of doing that?" And their better way of doing that was to come up with this very robust modular construction using the steel concrete framework to give that greater degree of robustness to the building. Now, what happened was when that occurred, that was a new type of design, one the NRC had not reviewed previously, and there were a lot of questions that they asked, some of which, you know, obviously were very good questions and caused Westinghouse to go back and make some tweaks to that shield building design to make sure that it was appropriately robust and met NRC requirements. So that's sort of one layer of the changes that were made, and those, you know, at the heart of them were really requirements that were engendered by the NRC. The second level is issues that were raised as a result of experience. You know, we are building four reactors over in China. Those are in process right now. The first one will be delivered in 2013. And so as we have been going through the process of building those reactors, there's things that we've identified, enhancements, improvements, refinements that you know, needed to be incorporated in the design here in the United States to bring it up to date. So that's sort of a second layer of improvement. And then, you know, as time goes on, as we all learn more about building these plants and refining them, some of the customers of the plants said, gee, there are some refinements we'd like to see made in these plants since 2006, and those have been incorporated in there. So those changes, you know, are reflective of a variety of different sources, and that is why Westinghouse has been going through this process to update the design so that when we actually begin construction of those plants in Georgia and South Carolina, they are appropriately up to date.
So the type of construction, the sandwich type shield building, is that something brand new, unique to Westinghouse, or is that some sort of fairly standard type of construction that's being done in other types of buildings, say sports stadiums or some other thing that is typically needs to be fairly robust and strong?
It is a style of construction that has been used in other parts of the world previously. It has not been as, you know, obviously it's a more recent style of construction, and I think part of the difficulty that the NRC and Westinghouse have encountered is typically, you know, many of the design standards are backed up by codes and standards of American Society of Mechanical Engineers and others. And in this particular case, there is not, because the design is new and innovative, there is not an established code and standard for this type of construction in the U.S. And so that has made everyone's job a little bit more difficult in making sure that the right set of standards are there to evaluate. That said, you know, no one in life wants to be static, and so when you have something which is going to be more efficient, it's going to be safer, it's going to be, you know, meet the strength requirements that are expected, and you're sort of doing the cutting edge work, there are circumstances where the codes and standards, you know, haven't quite caught up yet. But we certainly don't want to, and I, you know, my view is, you don't want to limit yourself to the older technology just because it's got codes and standards. You want to make sure you've really got the best product you put out there for the customer and for the public.
So it's got to be a pretty interesting trade-off between making a shield building that's stiff enough to withstand an airline impact while being flexible enough to withstand an earthquake and strong enough to withstand tornadoes and hurricanes.
Right, right. And that's what some of these, you know, that's what some of these discussions and interactions between Westinghouse and the NRC have involved, is striking that balance and making sure that the design meets that basket of requirements. And as I said earlier in the interview, you know, certainly Westinghouse's view and ours that, in fact, that balance has been struck and that we will meet those requirements for the litany of NRC requirements that are out there.
So there's one other thing I really want your perspective on. As a former commissioner yourself, can you explain a little bit to me and to the listeners about something called the DPO or DPA process? I think it's called dissenting professional opinion or something.
Right, right. Right. Well, it's a longstanding process that the NRC has been refining over the years. And really what it's intended to do is to allow an individual member of the NRC staff who has a technical issue for which they do not agree with the sort of the consensus opinion to express those views in a way that they are made open to the management of the NRC. They're fully heard out. They're allowed an opportunity to really explain why they believe that their views are important. And then the NRC management makes an analysis of that and makes a decision, whether they will follow the direction that the individual is taking, or whether they will politely, decline to accept the views of that dissenting opinion. It really is a process to make sure that all views are allowed to be expressed in an open way, and allow that exchange of information to make sure that the NRC is doing the right thing for safety.
Has that been one of the things that's been going on here with AP 1000?
Yes. In this particular case, there was a member of the staff who was part of the process of reviewing the shield building design, and after the review was complete, and the staff as a whole and the management as a whole came to the conclusion that they felt this design was safe and met NRC standards, this one individual expressed that he had a difference of opinion, and that he felt there were aspects of it that did not meet the NRC safety requirements. Using the NRC's traditional process, those views were expressed. There was an independent management review that took a look at it, and then ultimately came to the decision that while they appreciated hearing the views of the staff, that they did not agree with his conclusions, and they moved forward on the shield building design.
All right. Well, I appreciate your time, Jeff. I'm hopeful that you and your partners are going to be able to complete the calculations. One of the things that does seem to is this idea of the NRC releasing a press release. Is that something that has happened very often before in a case where there's, obviously tech. As a nuclear trained guy myself, I realize that there are some things that take time, and that putting
right.
strict deadlines on things that takes time is not the nuclear way. Normally, we're pretty keen on making sure we get the right answer, even if it takes a week longer than the wrong answer.
I think the under the Atomic Energy Act and the Energy Reorganization Act, you have specific roles and responsibilities of the staff of the NRC, the chairman of the NRC, and the commissioners of the NRC. The staff's role is to really review the information and weigh on technical issues and make its judgment in that regard, and obviously enforcement issues and things of that nature. The role of the commission is to serve as a body which makes its decisions on the policies of the commission as a whole and where it needs to go. It also serves as an adjudicatory body, a sort of an appellate-like function for issues raised up to the NRC's legal process. The role of the chairman is to do two things. One, serve as the leader of the administrative functions of the agency, oversee the day-to-day administrative function, and to serve as the principal spokesperson of the agency in the public forum, be that through the press releases or be it through communications with others. There's also envisioned in emergency matters, the chairman would take the lead role on emergencies associated with U.S. reactors or nuclear issues affecting the United States. Now, in the case of the press releases you mentioned, some of that depends from chairman to chairman. And if you look, I was a commissioner with four different chairmen, and each of them did things slightly differently. It is, after all, the prerogative of the chairman to put out those press releases and say what he or she wants to say. In this case, the NRC decided to put out a press release associated with these issues. Westinghouse, for its part, felt that it needed, because of some of what it felt were some of the reactions resulting from the NRC chairman's press release. You know, some folks had misunderstood Westinghouse's view, what the chairman meant by some of that, and so they put out their own press release characterizing the status and reinforcing their view that the design is safe and that major design changes, the design changes wouldn't be needed to address the few remaining issues that is hashing out with the NRC. So, it's a judgment call, and in this case, the chairman decided he wanted to do that. I think, to be fair, and I think particularly in this post Fukushima environment, I think that there's been a significant amount of scrutiny on what the NRC is doing, how its process is being utilized, and I think the NRC and perhaps the chairman feel that they need to reinforce the views of the public that they are indeed an independent regulator, and then perhaps some members of the public or some members of the media didn't fully understand or appreciate that role, and so that's obviously something the agency has felt before as well. So it is what it is. It was the chairman's call on that one, and that is his right and obligation under the Energy Reorganization Act for that role.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate your time, Jeff. I wish you good luck. I know that you're sitting in the wrong airport right now. You wanted to be on the other end of a flight, but appreciate you taking the time to explain a little bit about what's going on, and I wish you good luck in continuing to learn while you're doing, building the reactors in China, and that the reactors that you all end up building here in the U.S. will benefit from that experience.
I credit you for working on this webcast and the work you've been trying to do to help keep people informed about the nuclear arena. For my part, we want to make sure we put together a reactor that's safe, is going to meet energy needs and satisfies our clients' needs to produce energy. And we think that the AP1000 is a great way to do it. And certainly going forward, I'm happy to talk to you about it and I look forward to doing another one of these in the future.
Great. You take care. So there you have it. A different opinion, different view of the issues associated with the Westinghouse AP1000 and its design certification application. I hope that you enjoyed the show. Don't know how long it'll be before the next one, but you never know. Sometimes they come fast and furious. Bye.
There's a way, such a better way. Today, today. Raise your voice, tell the world there's a better way. Today, there's a better way. Ooh, there's a way, such a better way. Today, today. Now raise your voice, tell the world there's a better way. The way. It's the Adam's way.
You're listening to the Podcast Network. Listen, learn, evolve.